Comrade Deputy Minister, welcome. And the officials from the department. May I request that the officers sit at the side. May you occupy the seat. We always want to look the accused in the eyes. So if you could be that side, it will make engagement. We had said we will start at 9 and were mindful of the fact that it's already after 9, but because of the rain, some of our comrades are delayed, and so we're trying to see if they cannot join us, but to realize we cannot wait much longer. At least one of the comrades was supposed to lead the engagement this year, so we may as well start. I'm sure they'll get us on the way. Well, let's start with the formalities, Comrade Deputy Minister, which is Aretse Baneng, who is here. Problem is you can't whisper. So I hear you from here. So let's start with introductions, Comrade Minister. I'll hand over to you and the officials to introduce themselves. And if we have people from National Treasury to do so, and the Office of the Auditor General to do so, and then for comrades to introduce themselves. And then we can then engage knowing who is here.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Bongani, I'm Seni Mkongi, Deputy Minister of Police. General Mutiba.
I think they should be able to introduce themselves.
Yes, yeah. General Mutiba is going to introduce his team. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable Members. The team this morning consists of...
General, passing the Deputy. I'm sure each member is here. Let's allow them to introduce themselves so we can hear.
It's fine. I'm Lieutenant General Mutiba, Acting National Commission.
All right.
Honorable Chairman. Honourable Members, good morning. I'm Major General Rabi. I'm the Head of Strategic Management in SAPS.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Honourable Minister. My name is Bonang Mgwenya. I am a Lieutenant General, Deputy National Commissioner, Human Resource Management. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Deputy Minister and Honourable Members. I'm Lieutenant General Skutter, DNC for Asset and Legal Management. Thank you.
Honourable Deputy Minister, Honourable Members, I'm Major General Basson. I'm the TPC for Human Resource Management, Gauteng Province. I represent the Provincial Commission of Gauteng Province.
Okay.
Deputy Provincial Commissioner.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Deputy Minister, Honourable Members. I'm Major General Langa, the Acting Provincial Commissioner of KwaZulu-Natal.
Morning, Honourable Chair, Deputy Minister, and Honourable Members. I'm General Zuma, the Provincial Commissioner of Mpumalanga.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Deputy Minister, Honourable Members. I'm Lieutenant General Lizzy Wenjinga, the Provincial Commissioner of the Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Colonel Stein, Parliamentary Liaison.
Right. Do we have anyone from National Treasury?
I'm Stembekile Plaki from National Treasury. I'm the only official here today.
So there's no one from National Treasury?
No.
You are part of us here in Parliament.
Okay.
So, AG, or who else is here? Oh, yeah. I think we were expecting TPSA and the Public Service Commission. My sincere apology. Yeah, let's go from this way. My sincerest apologies.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. My name is Dovani Mampiswana, DG of the Public Service Commission. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, Deputy Minister, Honorable Members, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. I am Commissioner Selina Nkosi from the Public Service Commission.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. I'm Finiva Vahir, and I'm from the Office of the Public Service Commission.
Good morning, members. I am Nozipho Gwaza. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer for the Public Service Commission.
Good morning, Chair, Deputy Minister, and Honorable Members. My name is Itumele Mongale, Director for Ethics and Integrity Management, Department of Public Service and Administration.
Morning, Chair. My name is Tsepo Shabangu from AG.
Good morning, Chair, and Honorable Members. I'm Phumulani Rabwanda from the Auditor General of South Africa.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to the Honorable Members. My name is also Tembekile Makoito. I am the Auditor General of the Republic of South Africa.
All right, thank you. Comrades, may we introduce ourselves.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Miami Zilipoy, member of this committee.
Oh, Dumela Mdula Stool. Lebitsola ka ke Isaka Keka, ke member of committee.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Tabelo Chila, member of the committee.
Honorable Chairperson, my name is Mkulewo Hlengwa, member of this committee.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. My name is David Ross, member of the committee.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm Comrade
Temba. On the point of order, Chair.
Point of order?
Yes. Uh-huh. There's a gentleman that has not introduced himself properly. He's from Ngutu, not from the committee.
So what happened? Did I introduce myself or not? Okay. I'm Comrade Temba Kuti. I chair the committee. May I make a request that let us switch our cellular phones off for the duration of this meeting so that it does not disturb our proceedings. Don't put it on silent. It is not off. It will still disturb us. Comrade Kekane. General Mtiba. Mtibi. If things proceed this way, I may request you to leave with some members here. Yeah. and hand them over to Commissioner Modise. All right. I think, can we have our cellar phones off, please? And I can assure you that if your phone is not switched off, it is going to ring. Does not disappoint. Does interfere with our process and proceedings. Secondly, we, Comrade Deputy Minister, the way we do things in this committee, is that we have an idea of what we want to do. So instead of letting you hazard a guess and talk about so many other things, we always have a sense of what we want to know and ask for that information. So we're not going to burden you with the presentations. No, I'm sure there are a couple of questions. My comrades Ross and Chilwane are going to lead in that. Our sincerest intention really is to have an early day today. So if we're going to be long, it will be because of you, not because of us. So we intend to have an early day. Just a couple of questions and then we're done. We'll request that let our responses be short and pointed. That way they assist us all to get to the bottom of the issues. And we, as you'll be observing the proceedings, if there are issues that you may want to talk to at the end, we'll give you 2 or 3 minutes to talk to any issues that we discuss and that you feel you may want to talk to, so you can note issues down and right at the end. But that's how it's going to be. So I'll
thank you very much, Chairperson. Before that, I would like perhaps to make that summary at the end, but I just wanted to extend my apology because I'm opening violence against women and children unit in the Malenbeek police station. They invited me to be there at 11:30 today. So I'm not sure whether the meeting is going to go beyond that particular time. So I just wanted to sensitize the committee about my other appointment at 11:30 in Malenbeek to open that very important unit. Thank you very much.
All right. No, that's fine. Comrades, I'll hand over to Ross, and when it's done, I'll hand over to Chilwane, and only then can all of us make any follow-ups on any issue if we think and feel there are issues to be followed up. Ross?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the opportunity to lead the inquiry with my colleague, Chilwane. Chairperson, As a start, I would like to thank the police services for the comprehensive documents that were supplied to us. I think we were flooded with the documents a little bit late. I think there were 7 annexures that we had to deal with. But I will be dealing mainly with the back-to-basics document that you've, in terms of your presentation, just to structure the inquiry. Otherwise, it's a bit vast, and just to narrow it a little bit down to see that we get to the right results. And I was quite impressed with the hashtag crime must fall, and I'm quite sure that in the South African Police Service, Chairperson, that you are just as concerned as our committee with regards to police office doing business with the South African Police Service, the employees in the department doing business with the South African Police Services, and also family of the police employees engaging in contracts with the police. And certainly, I think in terms of preventative measures, you would know as the police, perhaps better than us as a committee, that this is important that we prevent crime. We prevent crime, and this is also the objective of our committee, to act preventively. Especially in terms of special offerings of contracts to family members and to employees of the service itself. Now, Chairperson, I was also impressed with your strategic plan. As in page 2 of your presentation, Of course, you focus on the Department of Public Service and Administration in terms of the regulations, but in terms of the prescript supporting your documentation in terms of SAP's strategic plan, can I then just take you to your annual report of 2015-16, and specifically in that regard to fraud and corruption on page 247, and there you've outlined the department's fraud prevention plan, also focusing on prevention and the progress made in implementing the fraud prevention plan. And then in terms of the second bullet there, policy and procedures relating to the performance and the remunerative work outside the SAPs. Now that's an issue that we can address later on, but for now I'd just like to focus on the contracts that the police services engage with. So the preventative, detective and corrective controls, you've made quite a remarkable presentation in your annual report with regards to this, and I was quite pleased with that. But then on page 251, with regards to minimizing conflict of interest, and that is what the debate today is all about, I was glad to note that in the third bullet point, in terms of Public Administration Management Act, the PAM Act, which guides us in this regard, it was clearly stated that the employees from SAPS will not be eligible to conduct business with SAPS or any other state department on national, provincial and local level. My first question would be, is that a commitment that the South African police has made in terms of this? General, would you like just to, you are committed to what is presented in your annual report of 2014-15.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. Chairperson, yes, we are committed.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think we can just have a short interaction just to establish that we find consensus in this regard. And then subsequently, where it's found that any of the directors, and I think that is bullet 4, 5, and 6, especially 6, found that any directors, trustees, members, shareholders is employed by the states, such written prior quotation or bid will be disqualified. Now, that sanction of disqualification, do you think that sanction is strong enough, or would you rather like to see that there's more consequences in terms of such a sanction, as outlined in your in the annual report?
Chairperson, we would, subject to the investigation that would have conducted, would really want stronger action, more stronger than that.
Thank you, because, General, if you see in the last bullet point, in terms of page 251 of your annual report, minimizing conflict of interest, you will see that there's an indication in terms of the Treasury regulation that prescribes that the accounting officer may disregard the bid of any bidder, which this is one not taking the bid in consideration. But then also it says further, if that bidder or any of the directors have abused the institution's supply chain management or have committed fraud on any of these improper conduct in relation to such a system, the sanction is simply that they should be disqualified. We are in total agreement that you believe there should be more consequences in this regard. This is a very important issue, and perhaps just in terms of your presentation, minimizing the conflict of interest, I think we should urge for stronger sanctions. Do we agree on that?
We agree, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. This is just a quick reminder in terms of your annual report and information coming from that. But Chairperson, if I then can take you to the Auditor General's briefing to SCOPA, and in the audit findings on state officials doing business with the state, and in the broader terms, a total of 30 employees, and I think the amount is 32.1 million, but that is not specifically with regards to the police services. What is unfortunate for the South African police services is the correlation, if you compare this with the overall audit outcomes to other national departments, and then we see on page 8, notwithstanding your annual report and your vision in that, it clearly states that the police, I would say, is the worst performing department in this regard. I can refer you to page 8 of the Auditor General briefing to SCOPA, and you will find the police, in terms of conflict of interest, the value of those awards to be 14,872,320 rand. That is on page 8 of the AG reporter Scopa, and surely you will find in 2015-16 as the worst performing department. Do you agree it's a complete indictment on your department?
Honourable Chairperson, any person doing business with the state, whether the SAPS or another government department, that should not be like that. However, there's in our presentation, we're talking to that matter in terms of what have we done, what are our prescripts, and so forth and so forth.
Thank you, Commissioner. But if I can just also highlight the concerning trend in terms of the department, in terms of the conflict of interest. You know, I can see that the Deputy Minister share my concern in terms of this. 2010-2011, it was 1.4 million. In 2012-2013, it was 280,000 rand. And then in 2013-14, it went a little bit better. We didn't see any audit findings from the AG. But in 2014-15, we had 15,433,000. And then a slight decline in 2015-16. So in terms of the trend, it is clearly very visible that the South African Police Services, in terms of conflict of interest, is not setting the example to the rest of the country, the police service being an implementing agent in terms of law enforcement. Do you agree with regards to the concerning trend as outlined by the AG?
Chairperson, I agree with the AG's findings. However, there are certain loopholes that the organization is busy working on, that we have implemented exactly to deal with that particular issue, because the system is having loopholes, and we are busy addressing those loopholes together with our supply chain and our sister departments.
Thank you, Chairperson. Through you, I hope that we will find some remedy in terms of this concerning trend. Just on the next page, page 9 of the AG findings, then, which is key in determining the timeframes, you will find in 2015-16, that's your latest annual report, that the Department of Police has 96 suppliers to the value of 8 million rand, where employees who are directors or members of the companies doing business with their own departments, and where suppliers did not submit declaration of interest as part of the bidding process. So what we've seen here, General, in terms of your supply chain management, that we've seen a complete lack of implementation in terms of legislative requirements, in terms of the supply chain management process, where suppliers did not submit declarations and did not take part of the bidding process. Do you also find that unacceptable?
If I can go into the what we have implemented to deal with that particular issue, like I've said, that our system is not 100% foolproof. There are loopholes in the system, and our request, General Mgwenya, just to briefly take the committee through what have we implemented to minimize our members doing business, not only with the SAPS, but with other government departments as well.
I think we need to continue with the question.
Thank you very much. I think for that recommendation, we can park it, Chairperson, because I think we would like to hear that, but with permission of the Chair, we park it, and then we complete another few questions. Commissioner, this is non-compliance in terms of the bidding process, certainly where there was preferential treatment to members, families, and other members in the SAPS itself, which is concerning. And I can sense that you share our concern that 96 suppliers and 8 million rand is a lot of money, and the police department specifically cited in this regard. But just the next point is even more concerning. If you look at the next point, number 3, employees who are directors or members of companies doing business with their own departments, and where suppliers did not declare the interest. This is where the suppliers, they don't declare the interest in the submitted declaration. But also then in brackets it is stated, and then there's a submittance, they submitted a false declaration. So that becomes very serious. To your mind, and I'm quite sure the South African Police Service should give us some guidance, do you think that constitutes fraud in the department? if there's a false declaration?
Yes, Chairperson. That is fraud. That is misleading the department.
Thank you. I must just say, in terms of this point, it was in 2012, 2013, and the amount was 280,000. But just in terms of the trend, I think when you do the analysis, sir, in terms of the AG findings, to have a thorough introspection in this report to establish the trend and to address this effectively. But you've said you will give us some indication as to the loopholes. But then on the same page, awards to providers who are close family members, and this is a huge concern, the influence of family members and how people connive the system, so to speak. Partners, associates, and persons in service of the auditee, and where providers did not declare their interest and also submitted a false declaration. So here we have providers, and then you have close family members, and there's a false declaration again. And in this regard, let me take the time frames. It's in 2015-16. The Department of Police recorded 6.7 million in terms of this transgression, which is also a very concerning trend. I then refer you to page 9 of the AG findings, and I hope that you have addressed this in your department. Have you had any interaction with regards to this report in your department?
Yes, we did, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just for the record, the alarming amounts and the transgressions in the department. And then just to continue perhaps with your strat plan, I see the South African Police Service on page 2 of the strat of your back to basics documentation. It's also indicated the South African Police has now approved National Instruction 4-2012, which in addition to the above regulatory framework strengthens the management of remunerative work in SAPS. Now, certainly we've addressed the non-compliance in terms of contracting and the conflict of interest, and we've shown the extent to what takes place in the department. But do you agree that in terms of these regulations, if I understand correctly, remunerative work falls in a different category? Are you aware of that? If there's remunerative work by the department, does it fall in a different category? It's not excluded completely. Is there a yearly process in terms of how you manage this?
There is a yearly process in terms of how we manage this, Chairperson.
Do you think, Commissioner, that in terms of the yearly processes in remunerative work, it opens the loopholes again? Is it something that this committee should look into in terms of legislation?
Chairperson, doing remunerative work and conducting business with the state, these are two different things. Because someone might ask to do remunerative to perform remunerative work that has got nothing to do with the organization, and then to do business, that is also another thing. Where someone would, for instance, apply for a tender or apply to provide one or the other service. So these are two different things, Honorable Chairperson. There might be some overlaps, but we deal with them separately, because in terms of our remunerative work, our policy document, every year someone can apply to perform remunerative work. But in terms of doing business with the state, that is something that can happen on a daily basis through all our 1,144 police stations, excluding our head office divisions as well as components. General Skete also want to add the Chairperson, with your permission.
Commissioner, you are not chairing here. There's one Chairperson. Allow him to conduct the work, and he'll be the one who give the opportunities. Question is, don't say this one want to chair, this one want to comment. We'll give him the Chairperson will give him the opportunity the right time. Allow him to conduct the meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the point is taken, and we can also park the response from General Skitter just for a later stage, if possible. I would really like to hear that, because it's quite important. But I can clearly sense that there's a different approach to remunerative work, and that it's falls in a different category. and that you're well aware of it. Thank you. Thank you for the response. A total of 103 exceptions were identified by means of a computer-assisted audit technique support. And then there was a management letter with 32 samples. What do we understand, if you can just guide this committee with regard to the exceptions and the 32 samples? Can you give us the context? What does it mean?
Chairperson, can I also find out which document the honourable member is having so that I can...
I'm working with the Back to Basics document, Crime Must Fall document, which we received very late, but in terms of just giving you an opportunity to respond adequately, I'm dealing with this document.
Can I be updated which paragraph of the presentation is it? Chairperson, can I understand the question? So the question is, what is the exception?
Listen, thank you. I think you should guide us with regard to the exceptions and the meaning of exceptions and how does it impact.
With the chairperson's approval, can I ask one of our officials to respond to that?
Yeah.
General Skett.
So that is why it's so important that we maybe just have a look at the figures there. Chairperson,
yep.
The 32 was the sample of SAPS employees doing business with SAPS in 15-16 financial year. Of the 32, a number of aspects happened, investigation, resignations, resign as directors and so forth, and currently there are basically 19 left. Now, the presentation focused on the 32 samples as well as the 71 exceptions as encapsulated in the CATS report. The CATS report was an additional figure that was provided regarding in terms of implicated persons doing business with the state. So all in all is 104 basically, 103 people in this regard. So those are basically the exceptions, consist of a number of officials, implicated persons that must still be dealt with. Thank you.
Can I then just ask, thank you for the explanation. So these are the people that had the transgressions. Those are the numbers, 104.
Those are the implicated persons, of which chairperson we are you, of which some are more certain than others.
Yes. And now, there was a process, and which time frames are we talking about?
Were you
which
talking year? 14, 15, 15, 16, and even some 16, 17 in terms of the 100, in terms of employees. I think it was 15, 30 to 11. And then the CATS was 107. So may I just say something, sir? I think it's work in progress. Up to August 2016, you could have done business with the state if you had approval for remunerative work, as well as you had declared it in terms of the SBD4, and you went through a due procurement process. Since that time, when the transitional arrangements came out in terms of the Public Service Act. That's a point I want to make. Going forward, I think there was a six-month period, beginning of February 2017. Business should not be allowed. That's a point I want to make.
Okay, I will deal with those time frames, and I think my colleague is correct to interrupt today. Thank you very much.
You
don't have to extend.
Lieutenant. Can you focus on giving us the answers? I thought that the Auditor General has been very clear, put it to us that police are doing business with the department. I thought that that's where we really are. Process is beyond that one. We are on the Auditor General's report. Can we get answers on those areas? And help the Honorable Member to get answers.
All
right. Not the theory, General. Theoretically, you know very well you can do the theory, but we want answers to be specific. And this is where we are. Sampling and everything, we are going to come to you. As of now, just with the Honorable Member so that it can help all of us to understand.
General, what I'm trying to establish here is that, you know, we have 104 people not complying with regards to what they should be complied with. And then in terms of the time frames, you, of course, you've noted that since August 2016, there were new regulations coming forward. But I'll deal with the time frames and how it played out. But my question with regards to the 104 people, the consequences that was followed in terms of disciplinary process, you said a number of them, 19, have left. Is that resigning from the service, or did they leave? Did they actually leave as directors, engaging with this, with the South African Police Service to do business? What is that meaning of who? What? Explain to me the 19 that left.
Honourable Chairperson, can I ask General Mgwenya through you to respond to that?
Sure.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. In terms of the figures, our presentation made visible those who have resigned. It means they resigned, they are no longer with the service. But also of importance, Honourable Chair, through you, of importance is that prior August 2016, within the SAPS, members who wanted to do business were required to apply to do additional remunerative work. I think that is what is important. They were required to do additional remunerative work only after August 2016. And then we had these regulations that was talking to doing business with government. And subject to that, as the SAPS, we ensured that we give a directive. So the steps that we are currently talking to will be 2015-16. And those who would not have resigned, there is a process that is underway which talks to internal disciplinary process, which is informed by violation of the national instruction, which talks to additional remunerative work. If members will not have applied, we will then be taking disciplinary steps against them. But in terms of the revised regulations which came into effect in August 2016, we do not have any figures that will be talking to members who would have violated regulations after the revised regulations of 2016. And then in terms of the other figure of the 32, there is a process that is underway in terms of verification, and some of them would have already resigned when we check on the system. We must upfront acknowledge to say, as the SAPS, we do not have our own system enables us to extract information from the relevant department. We are reliant to what the Auditor General and the Public Service Commission will have brought forward to us, and then we will then work. At the same time, we are in the process. We established.
Okay.
Now, thank you very much for explaining this. Look, my general, my gut feeling is that 19 people has left, but in terms of the rest, that the process is very slow. You've just admitted now that you don't have your own system, you're reliant on the AG and on the Public Service Commission. I hope that you have plans in place within the department to address transgressions more effectively, because I think it would be critical for the department to have your own system to detect and to prevent crime. You should know, you are the experts in terms of crime. Can I just state for the record, Chairperson, to give clarity to the South African Police Services.
it's quite clear. If an official do remunerative work, they have to require to get permission from the accounting officer. Who is the accounting officer in the department? It is commissioner, the general. Is it correct? So if they do remunerative work without permission, they have not followed correct procedures, and that is non-compliance. So once we can prevent that, if you have your systems in place, so I believe what we've established now is that there's a lack of systems within the South African Police Service to prevent this type of transgressions taking place. And we've seen from the trend that is not good news with regards to the figures relating to your department. But I must admit that what you've made a valid point is in terms, Chairperson, of the time frames, August 2016, because it's quite clear that there was a bit of a grey area in addressing this. And as from, I believe, 28 February 2017, where there's now specific disclosures with regards to this. Can I just move through the time frames that we establish that we find consensus on this? And if you disagree, please tell me. In August 2016, as you said, there was a circular, and I believe that you've also sent out the circular on the 1st of February 2017. So I think you've acted in time, and I was pleased to see this, because this is very important. The circular, 1 August 20, the Minister of Police and Administration circular, in terms of the transitional arrangements, an employee would had 1 month to disclose. Is that correct? And then 6 months after, there could be seizure to stop it completely. That is correct. And then if an employee does not resign within 6 months period, the employee must submit proof that the employer ceased conducting business or resigned as a director of a company that conducts business with the organ of state. So this was a severe intervention to stop doing business with the state, and I believe there's complete consensus on that. So then secondly, all business units must now ensure that on 20 February 2017, there's disclosure, currently conducting business with other government departments, a disclosure form is attached. But that was fine, but on the strict resignation and proof, all employees of state who are conducting business with other departments must either resign as employees, and then on 31st of March, there was another directive, as a director of a company that conducts business. So the proof of the pudding is that it then stopped. Is it correct? All business with the state. It is stopped. And it's only the remunerative work that needs the approval of the accounting officer. Do we have consensus on that? Is that where the process currently stands? Thank you, because I think that is very important, that there's an intention to stop and then alternatively to disclose when you do remunerative work with the accounting officer. Thank you very much for that. Then I'd just like to highlight some concerns, and I'll just be more quick, because not to take up too much time. Summary of the active members doing business as SAPs. The trend is declining. I must say Eastern Cape is still a problem with 7 persons implemented. KwaZulu-Natal 5, Mpumalanga 2. But what is concerning to me is the critical services in the department. Forensic services, you have 2, is that 2 persons that were implicated? On I think you didn't number the pages, but page 4 of your back to basics. Just check for me that.
It is 2 persons.
Is it 2 persons? Crime intelligence 1, that is serious. If you have in crime intelligence persons, that is implicated. And then in the supply chain management 3, what were the consequences in these critical areas for these persons? And then just lastly, finance and administration service, you also had 1 person implicated. Do you also consider this to be, it's like an inside job in the department? How do you view this situation and what has been done to address this?
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. I'll ask through you that General Mkwenya respond.
Maybe even before going there...
maybe let's just go there straight away, so that we don't might find ourselves taking more time.
Thank you, Chair. We indicated that in respect of the other figures, the investigation, the verification and the confirmation, it's still underway. Where there would have been a transgression, we immediately ensure that the disciplinary steps the disciplinary process kicks in. We are not at this stage. We are not in a position to say it would have been something that would have done deliberately by a member of the SAPS.
The question seeks a specific response for specific cases. You see, in this particular case, crime intelligence, finance.
Yes.
Did you say forensic?
Yes, sir.
Said in this
crime intelligence.
Crime, he said, in this particular instance, what was the sanction for these officials or officers who have transgressed the law?
Honorable Chair, shall I request we be allowed to, we do have names, shall I request we be allowed to come back to the committee maybe in writing regarding specifically what the detail, what would have happened. As I indicated earlier, that the verification and confirmation process is on. If we can be allowed, in terms of the member from the intelligence, the finance and supply chain management, we do have their names. We will be coming back to give the committee details of what would have happened after discovering that they are dealing with the...
Thank you, General. This is in your presentation, so I'm just asking you questions on your presentation. But to your mind, to your knowledge, are these people still employed in this critical area? Have they been removed?
Honourable Chairperson, for instance, the member from SFL, Ma Selele, the member did registered as a director on 2015-1109. So I think that there was a problem in updating the system so that it reflects that. And then there's a member from Warrant Officer Mdoda. According to the member's affidavit, he was never involved in business with the subs. So the member is disputing that, which means that we'll have to go into a process to investigate that particular matter. The next one, Robson L. According to the member's affidavit, she resigned from the husband's business on 2014-08-28. So that is a matter that we are investigating because the member is responding like this. We'll investigate it, and if we find that the member is not honest with us, there will be disciplinary steps that will be taken. And I can go on and on, Chairperson. Kumede, according to an affidavit from KZN province, the matter was investigated and the finding was that the member is not associated with any company. So this was an investigation that the Provincial Commissioner's Office in KwaZulu-Natal conducted. The next one is Mpanza. Mpanza, according to the member's affidavit, he submitted notice of change of company directors on 2013-09-02. And then we are awaiting confirmation of that deregistration from the relevant authority so that we can say with a certainty that the deregistration did take place. Banjwa ST, according to the member's affidavit, deregistered on 2013-09-02. Again, this is a matter which we want proof that the member did deregister, and that information we're going to get it from the relevant authority that done the registration. So, with your permission, Chairperson, can I go through all these names that?
No, it has specific cases, which I'd imagine they were the ones you were talking about. Unless if you're merely going through names as listed in this.
Chairperson, I think I'm going to ask my colleague to deal with those specific cases, but just for me to conclude my line of questioning,
right.
I would like just to move to the Audit Committee and questions on that with your permission.
Why don't we allow Comrade Shilwane?
And then I come back to the Audit.
And then we can come back later on other related matters once we have dealt with the core issues.
Thank you.
Yeah. On what?
No. General, as you're going through these things, as I'm explaining, we just wanted to really make you understand that doing these things under oath, and as you are doing them under oath, it means that what you tell us should be a little bit honest, it should be reflective of what is in front of us. The list they are working from your submission says members doing business with subs.
Now we are saying that they are investigating. There's a little bit of a contradiction. So what you have told us doesn't seem to have been concluded. And we, as I said earlier, we are concentrating on what the Auditor General has presented to us. So whatever you say, be sure that you are certain about it, that it's truthful in front of us.
Please, Congress. I think let's hold it. General observations we can make later. Let's allow Comrade Chirwane to deal with the specific instances. And then once we've dealt with all these, we can then come back and say what are our observations. Comrade Chirwane.
Thank you, Chairperson. My apology. My voice is not the nice one today. A bit of a flu. Commissioner, I'm going to focus my most of my discussions in terms of the report by the AG, which I hope you do have the copy you are familiar with. I'm going to start at page 13 of the report of the AG. Page 13.
Which page?
Page 13. Yeah. 1-3. When you look just at the top, there's where the AG mentioned the name of the National Instruction of 7/2000 that deal with the performance of remunerative work and disciplinary measures that's supposed to be taken against members of the South African Police Services. And it also reads, especially when you check with the number 4, it says regulations, it's not number 4, number D, regulations provide that a member is guilty of misconduct if he or she, without written permission of the national or provincial commissioner. But then, Commissioner, then when you look at what the AG is saying here in terms of this audit performance, is that many members in the police decided to disregard this note 7 of 2000. Maybe we can start to talk about that one first. Why it was disregarded, either by the accounting officer or provincial commissioners, because they are the ones supposed to give them permission. Can you talk about that one?
Honorable Chairperson, National Instruction 7 of 2000 was replaced by National Instruction 4 of 2012. Now, in terms of the Honourable Member's question, can I ask General Mgwenya through you, Chairperson, to respond to them?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. In terms of the revised National Instruction 4 of 2012, where members are required to make an application to conduct remunerative work, where would have found that members would have transgressed, where members would not have applied, we do take steps against members who would have transgressed. And the same national instruction says where they would have applied, approval thereof should be given in 30 days. It also gives an obligation to
well,
the employer.
I think, General, the actual substance of the question is why did you allow gaps and lapses to occur so that people were able to transgress the instruction? Why didn't you have robust enough systems to prevent these transgressions? Not to react once they have transgressed.
we, Honorable Chair, we believe we had systems in place to ensure that members do what is required of them. Hence, where they would have transgressed, we'll ensure that there are steps that are taken against them. I'm not sure if I can go back to the list,
no,
which is
no.
a matter of discussion,
no,
to
no.
expatiate
no.
my explanation.
No, no, no. Let me allow her to continue.
Chairperson, I was going to make a follow-up in terms of that answer. Staff Commissioner, you say Note 7 of 2000 was replaced by Note 2012. But in the presence of that Note 7, 2000, were members of the police supposed to follow or comply with the law? Something has happened. And I think that is why the AG has been able to pick this and to say, to refer to the note of 7-2000 that was disregarded. So that was my real question, to say why it was disregarded. We understand that notes or laws or regulations can be amended, can be revised. But the fact of the matter has been picked here and has been reported here is that nobody has followed the law. It's either in your office, National Commissioner, or in the Provincial Commissioner. I think that is where we want to understand as a committee why it was not followed. And then the other things that we'll talk about, then we'll engage and discuss as we go further. If I can just get an explanation why it was not followed, why Note 7 of 2000 was not followed. Who was responsible? What happened to that particular person who was supposed to give? Because if you check, it says, let me just read it. With regard to SAPS National Instruction 7-2000 dealing with the performance of remunerative work, state that sub-disciplinary regulations provide that a member is guilty of misconduct. I think that is a point where one to arrive. Is guilty of misconduct. Even before that person does something or that person go and perform something else, but that person already is guilty of misconduct. I think that's where we're supposed to start and get an indication. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Chairperson, the first thing is that we agree with the Honourable Member that our members have transgressed. What we are busy working on is to find a proactive system. Unfortunately, Chairperson, we don't have a proactive system, and the Minister of Public Service and Administration have issued that order IM 1 of 2016. We think that is not the 100% foolproof, but it is very much overwhelmingly it's assisting us in addressing the challenges that we were encountering in terms of National Instruction 1 of 2000. And in terms of National Instruction 7 of 2000, we are reactive. We would at some stage find that this member was doing business with the state after he's already done that. The idea, Honorable Chairperson, is that we should pick that up during the process in terms of our supply chain management processes. So I think that should be one of the reasons why National Instruction 7 of 2000 was amended, and where we're standing now, we think that we got enough muscle to can deal with these members that are doing business with the state. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you for that explanation, Commissioner. When we go further down, still on the same note, we just want to, so that we exhaust it, we understand it, we are at the same level, all of us. It further states the note that SAPS employees may not be granted permission to perform any remunerative work. I hear the Lieutenant, she was referring that they've got to get permission and wait for 30 days. It's not. But maybe if maybe she can further state, explain that one, because in terms of this note that we're talking about, Commissioner, it says, in actual fact, it says any member of SAPS is not supposed to do any work. I think that's how I understand it, unless I don't understand English, because it says SAPS employees may not be granted permission to perform. And I think that's the basis of what I'm trying to understand. If maybe we can just be at the same level in terms of this paragraph as written by the agent. Thank you.
Well, Chairperson, through you, can General Ngwenya please respond to that?
Thank you very much. The national instruction is prohibiting members of the SAPS from doing certain types of remunerative work. The National Instruction 7 of 2000, which General Mutiwa indicated that it had gaps, which has since been replaced by 4 of 2012. 4 of 2012 makes specific remunerative work which we are not allowed to engage in, Honourable Chair. Maybe if I were to talk to the 30 days, the 30 days that I was referring to was to say.
What I think would assist us, if you were to take the part that she has quoted and talk to it as you quoted it, or to demonstrate that what she has quoted does not reflect the totality of what that paragraph says, so that you are able now to say no, because what she has read says no remunerative work, if I heard it correctly. But you are saying no, there was an amendment, or it used to say certain remunerative work. So there is a contradiction between what she has said and what you are saying.
Thank you, Chair. Members of the SAPS can do remunerative work not with the government, not with the SAPS. They can do remunerative work. But our national instruction also make visible those specifics which members of the SAPS cannot involve.
I want you to say what she has read is wrong. Because if she is right, you can't be right as well. That's why I want you to start. You must start from what she has quoted and say, no, you are wrong. The correct version is this. Mm. And then that ends the discussion on the matter.
Maybe through you, Chair, to check. I have National Instruction 4 of 2012. I'm not sure as to...
I have the report of the AG. This is what enables us as a committee to do our work. I have this report. I'm referring to this report.
Chairperson, through you, the postscript is not that the members must not. It is the member may, subject to those conditions. For instance, our national instruction is saying that a member cannot do business if in the taxi industry, as well as those other environments which the organization feel undesirable. So it is not a must, it is a may, subject to the organization interrogating that application of the member, satisfying itself that the member may or may not, but it's not must, Honorable Chairperson.
Chairperson, then that is English that maybe one doesn't understand. Yeah, General is assisting me because yeah, it is written may. So it's so many right. Possibilities that may, okay. Might say may not, it might, you might. Something like that. It's English. But when you go to the finding by the AG on the same note that we're discussing, same note, 7 of 2000. Because, Chairperson, maybe we should state clear that, yeah, we're not talking about 2015-2016. But this report is the report that the AG took in terms of samples for checking on officials doing business. So that maybe we are able to be clear that it's not something that we're referring it to the year under review, but we're referring you it as a scope of what is happening in terms of officials or employees who are doing work with the state while employed. When you check at the findings, it's 7.1.2. You go to C. There it talks about subs. Five employees were identified as directors or members of companies that have transacted with subs, which I believe probably they are part, like when Honorable Ross was saying, I will continue, probably which I believe they are part of this report. Maybe if we can get their names in terms of this finding, because this one is not five of them, they are 23. Let's just exonerate the five of them that we must know in terms of this report. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, we got the list of 32 names, so we will ask your indulgence if we can go back and identify those four, five members and give a written response.
Chairperson, I agree very much with the National Commissioner. I just want to record a sort of a concern in terms of that. Why, Chairperson? Because this report, as it talks to those five members in terms of them being identified in terms of the audit that was done. So the commissioner is right, they've got 23. But these ones that have been picked, I think it was going to assist the committee for us to know who are they, what is it that they did. But it's okay, Chairperson, I accept that they will send it. But maybe for future purposes, when we continue to work, we'll be able to continue. And going back to the issue of supply chain management systems, the systems in the department of how do you place them. Because when you look at point number C on 7.1.2, is that all the transactions were based on quotations and total amount being paid was less than 200,000 to employees related company or CC. And the total amount paid to these companies and the CC during the period under review was 144 million. I'm mentioning the issue of supply chain management, Chairperson, in general, because if you don't have systems in place, then you are unable to pick all these things. And in people who are, let me just put it, people who are corrupt or who conduct themselves in fraudulent activities, they will then split all this amount. It's 200,000. You can find that it's not 200,000. We are having contesting into a one company, but then we can split it so that the system doesn't catch up. So the issue of placing good systems in department is very much important, so that there's no one who will be able to pass by those systems. And I think, Chairperson, I just needed to mention that. Because when you read this paragraph, it then tells you that there were flaws in terms of the system whereby people will be able to manipulate those issues. And when you also check in terms of the 19 employees who were identified as directors or members of those companies' offices did not have an approval to perform other work. It's either the approval that we talk about in the beginning when I started to engage into this report, is that they did not get any approval. And it, back in my mind, it will boggle down that why people will continue to do work that they don't get approval, but they know that something is not right. And that particular person who sit in that office who's supposed to give people approval, why didn't that person perform his or her duties? Why? I think if we can get an explanation why. Because it's an area that has been picked in everywhere. It's also the issue of systems. Or it's also the issue of notices that notes, practice notes that are being revised every day and now and then, because things are not getting right. Why? Why do we allow this situation to go on and on and on every now and then? Chairperson, can we get an explanation?
Honourable Chairperson, through you, can ask General Skeeter to respond.
Chairperson, the question inherently also refers to a control in the process, because we're talking systems. Until last year, around October, the central supplier database and the tests that it provided did not exist of the National Treasury. Since the introduction of the central supplier database, you can now test against that system. That system interfaces with PERSAL,
General. How long has the SAPS been existing? Just how long has SAPS been existing?
Well, sir, around 100 years.
So you have never had systems. You only got when it's treasure.
No, I refer to the enhanced ones, so there were systems, but this enhanced is much.
Right. How far do you still have to go, comrades?
I think I have about two or three questions from the main.
Right.
Section 8 of the Public Service Act, Code of Conduct for Public Service. How do we then incorporate it into the work of this of the police service? Because it's state categorical, what is supposed to happen and what is not supposed to happen.
Can I respond, Chairperson?
Yeah.
Chairperson, the most important thing really why we're here this morning is the fact that we don't have adequate system to deal with this. We don't have, Chairperson. And I'm happy that we are now working with Treasury, we are working with the public service and administration to try and close that gap. Until thus far, Chairperson, we are reactive. So the AG will point to us that the following people are doing business with the state, they are doing this, illegal things, only then do we come in and throw the book at them. And this is something, Chairperson, as you can see, we have been reviewing our national instruction of 2012, exactly to try and close those loopholes. And I want to inform the committee this morning that we have not closed them 100%. We have not. That's why we are working with a Public Service Commission, Treasury, Department of Public Service and Administration, because this is not only a SAPS issue, Chairperson. So we want to plead that, yes, we are reactive, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson.
No,
I'm just saying, Chairperson, it's on the rule.
Yeah, no,
it's a point of order, Chairperson.
No.
General, to be fair to you, we're dealing with the Auditor General's report that is in front of us now. We're not lamenting where we're going. We're dealing with the Auditor General's report that is in front of us. And we need to deal with that, General. This is not your money, it's not my money. It's the fiscal's. It's been collected and to be given to our, and have to have a particular use. I'm still going to come. I'm just saying, deal with us very honestly on what is in front of us now. Don't mislead us. The narration of stories and lamenting of the future in an organization that has existed for hundreds and more years, you can't do that to us. This is the money of the public. It's not your money. And that's what we are interested in, General. And we are going to solicit guidance on that matter, because this organization is older than you. But give us what is in front of you and give us answers, please, General. I accept what the chairperson says, but as of now, we really need answers from you. Not lamenting about the future, sir.
All right.
I can tell you now, I'm coming on the question of Clara, which is not started yesterday. With the lieutenant general, I'm going to deal with that matter, which shows that this organization has been corrupt. And you're supposed to give us answers directly what has been happening. I hear what you're saying, Honorable. I'm going to tell you that they're misleading us.
All right.
And I'm going to prove it now.
All right. Comrade Chilwane.
Chairperson, you see, in terms of the Public Service Act, when someone has got to do work outside his or her own area of work, he's supposed to get a written permission. In terms of complying with this act, there was non-compliance within SAPS, period. There was none. And I think, Chairperson, that is my problem. That is my challenge. Because the answers that we get is for future. But what we deal with is here in this committee. Is it why it has happened? Who is responsible? I hear you have talked about investigations. You've talked about those five that have been identified by the AG. But why all of them, not even a single of them, didn't get a written approval to do that way? Why? Does it mean that someone in the senior management was doing the work with them? Because it will be like that if you don't get that the answer here. Will presume like that somebody in the management was colluding with them. It was just business as usual. We can't have officials who get paid, who said they're going to protect and do all these things before when they are employed, and just disregard the laws, especially for yourself, police. You can't. You don't adhere to known practices. You don't adhere to supply chain management policies. You don't comply as well with the Public Service Act. Really, I need somebody or something that I can hear that can convince me, Chairperson.
Chairperson, it is. Wrong. It is illegal for our members to do remunerative work without permission. We are busy investigating those members and will inform this committee about that.
Are you done, Comrade Chilwane?
I don't know why did you give me this work, Chairperson, because today you are pushing me to finish.
No, you said you had three questions.
Yeah, Chairperson, I just want to ask the last question on investigations. General spoke about general.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot his name. Oh, it's General Ngwenya. Yes, General Ngwenya spoke about those when we were talking about Honorable Ross raised the issues on in terms of the list that there are some investigation. There are those that have resigned. There are those that they are still investigating. There are those that they said they don't belong to any company. But when let's just look on the number five, list number five, that page of members doing business with SAPS, that comes from you, Commissioner Mbanza JW. I think her rank or his rank is a cleaner. I don't know, Chairperson, in terms of the Public Service Act, I think it relates to, in terms of the levels, who's supposed to declare, who's not supposed to declare. And here is a cleaner, amount of 168,000 in KZN. According to the member affidavit, he submitted notice of change of company director. Can we just get an explanation too in regard to this one?
Honourable Chairperson, through you, as General Mgwenya, to respond.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Every employee has to apply for additional remunerative work. And in terms of this member, when we did our investigation, this is what came up to say. She submitted a notice of change of company of directors on the date, and we are awaiting confirmation of this deregistration, which is a process that takes at times approximately about 2 years.
Chairperson, it's suspicious. It's suspicious, but maybe other members will do follow up. And all this investigation, they're going to take 2 years, or is just this one of Mrs. Mpanza?
No, I'm talking the process of deregistration, confirmation for deregistration. It takes longer. It is not our, we are reliant on other departments. It's not within our capability as the organization.
And Chairperson, is just a follow-up on these investigations that you're going to do in with all these members on issues that you have not concluded. How long is it going to take for you to complete this investigation? And Chair, with your permission, maybe if they can update us in terms of progress on those investigations. And the one that has been concluded, if there are any other that have been concluded, have you recovered the money? How much have you recovered from all these irregularities? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I indicated earlier that we are in a process of verification and confirmation, the process which is dependent on other departments. If it's an investigation which the SAPS will have, which will be within the SAPS capability, that investigation will be finalized in 30 days as provided for in terms of our discipline regulations. But in terms of these cases, there are dependencies, hence we are not able to finalize the investigation because we still require information. I think it is only fair and correct that we gather all information prior to finalization of the investigation, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Any recovery amounts that you have recovered?
The capabilities for recovering is within other. It will be we within other departments. However, we with the loss management directorate that we are having in the SAPS, should an internal investigation reveal that this member would have owed the organization, it will then be recovered within the organization processes. It will be a debt that will be created against a member, and then it will be recovered. But in terms of these particular cases, we do not have a case which has been finalized, which would have been necessitated a situation where there will be a case registered, and there would have been judgment that money be recovered in respect of a member. Thank you.
Chairperson, just to mention the last one, just to mention that here in Scopa we have got an interest of recovering funds that were went out of the way, out of the path of government. I think that is one of our most important things that we need to talk about recovery. Not that people will just come and do as they like and then they leave and then the money is forgotten. Thank you, Chairperson.
All right. Comrade, I will now hand over to you. I'll start with you, Comrade. But can we agree? Maybe ask three questions so that we pass, and then we come back so that all of us would have had the opportunity to. Except to say, as I hand over to my comrades, Acting National Commissioner, you know, General Mwenya, let it pass, you see, because I think that her question and the responses that you gave raises many other questions. So I think let's leave it at that. I'm sure comrades are going to come with follow-ups. Safe to say, General, you see, my concern is that when the first report of the Auditor General on conflict of interest came, the police were high up there. Now we requested the AG to do a follow-up report, which has brought us here. And once again, the police are right up there. I think that's where we must start. That is our concern. You have the highest amount of all the departments that the Auditor General went through. So let's keep that at the back of our mind. Comrade Boy, Comrade Kekane, Sengwa, yeah, we'll move. But let's keep it 3-3 so that we can all have a bite. Yes, Comrade.
No, thank you, Chairperson. General, you know that I've written many of the laws for the police. I've written many laws for the police since 1994, so I would far better understand that. Known others have worked with them for a very long time. Ma'am, Mwenya, can you stop misleading us? Can you be frank and honest with us? You know, I'll just take one. The Auditor General, in the audited report, which says procurement and contract management, which is in page 299, he says persons in service of the Department of Police who had a private or business interest in contracts awarded by the Department of Police failed in certain instances to disclose their such interest as required by Treasury regulations, Public Service Regulation, and the South African Police Service. Now, this is about three things that are regulating you to be able to disclose. And you come to the committee and say, you are just telling us about the internal disciplinary action. What about the rest of the others? Well, this is in front of you. You are in human resource. But you are supposed to have told us, and I'll give you another incident, man. Shela has, now he's 10 years service. Shela has, inside the police, who was in procurement, has taken away from kickbacks 1.3 billion.
1.3 billion. Now you come here with a lethargy approach of saying to us you are investigating. Why didn't you find Skylar at an early stage? It is what you want us to say to the public.
Not Skylar.
Skylar. No, not Skylar. I don't understand. I'm gonna say move. Why does he get worried? No, not when I'm coming. There's a lieutenant general who's called Skylar. I just wanted to give you one other thing, Chairperson, just to prove that there's a problem in the service. At page 248, fraud and corruption, in generality, in showing that your lack of cooperation with the Auditor General does create problems, but one thing that we trust the institution, it will do its job too. Your corruption cases as an institution, ma'am, are 469. This is the police. This is in your report. 469. This is just about corruption. Now, we were just trying to get you to give us a focus on those that are doing conflict of interest and doing business with their families. But in your own report, for over a period, you've done corruption. 469. Now you tell me an institution that is old like yours that is supposed to be making confidence to our people. How do we entrust confidence in this particular one, General? When she is not able to recall some of the processes. Your processes are not new. The organization is old. You might be coming today, but the organization is very old. There's that generals before you. But the state of things that we are saying in 2015, 2016, you are arriving at a level where corruption inside the service itself is at about 469. And your fraud cases, fraud just among the police, it's about 104. These are police people. And if you deal with consequence management, now tell us, what are you going to do with the state of an organization? Because no case, I'm saying the Shella case, who's the lieutenant general? He left. Now he's going to serve a very less sentence of 5 years. But by the time he leaves the institution, he had taken a kickback of 108 billion. So it means that the police, then amongst yourselves, ma'am, in terms of your own processes and procedures internally, that can happen to you. It's an easy thing, and we must wait for you as scoper, and must not listen to the auditor general. Was your internal processes. By the day you think you'll come back and report to us, you'll tell us what has happened. But the state of the organization seems to be very bad, man. There's corruption inside the police. And your processes, you are saying, and this is what Skirter says. Skirter has been a CFO for many years. And Skirter says today, no, let's wait for another process. These things happen under his guard. How do you want us to appreciate that? And how do you want us to convince the public that you are doing a good job? And these people that the honorable member was asking, that when even just a person, Oshaik Masanyel, you can't be able to finalize cases. You want to finalize cases at the loss of the revenue. It's not your money, it's not my money. You want to lose. You want us to tell the public that at 108 billion, this is what must happen. One billion. This is what you are saying we must wait for at this moment. Is it what you want us to do, man? I just want to show you for the last time, sir. Your financial statements, man, this is what the Auditor General is telling us. That's why your state of answering is not good. You are not presenting facts. The Auditor General says the financial statements submitted for audit were not supported by full and proper records as required by section what of the PFMD. It means the organization, what you are telling us, that's why you are thumbsucking your information. That's why your information is not correct, because you don't have your own internal processes are not good. You don't have recordings of people have done this thing. That's why the acting general is not able to give answers, because he's relying on you, but you don't have the proper records. This thing, who did it, man? Is it you? Is this your information?
because we are dealing with an audited report. It's your report.
The report that you are having through you, Honorable Chair, is a name list that was compiled by the Auditor General, and the last part that talks to remarks will be the input from the SAPS.
So you are saying, ma'am, the last part means that remarks, the member deregistered as a director. Is that what the in the case of Mashele Hlele?
After having received this name list, when we did an investigation, these were our findings.
So we are saying to the committee, Mashele Hlele was identified by the Auditor General, not by your own internal process.
Like I indicated through you, Honorable Chair, like I indicated, as the SAPS, we currently do not have an enhanced system where on a press of a button, you are able to pick up that Mashele Hlele does business. We are, however, in a process of ensuring that we enhance our system.
Ma'am, so you couldn't know anything about Hlele until he has taken 1 billion. That's what they are telling us.
Correct, sir. But obviously, one also will be dealing with sins of the forefathers. We will not have known if a member would not have applied, especially the
no forefathers here. Shella was in the service now. Shella has left the service not 3 years back. What are you trying to say now? He's not a forefather. He was a lieutenant general. What are you trying to do now? It looks as if you like to joke, ma'am.
Alright.
I'm talking about the 1 billion that has been spent under this democratic government. I'm not talking about the forefather. And I'm talking about the fact that the Auditor General says your internal recording systems are bad. I'm not talking about new technology, ma'am. Why would enhancement give us what we want to understand? What do you mean by enhancement? You mean that there has been a system before, and that system is not able to pick up those that have been corrupting the system, and those that have been doing business? Because I don't understand whether the Auditor General get the system. Or can I ask you about the audit committee that was supposed to have helped you to identify these problems?
Honorable Chair, the audit committee is an independent body. I will not be in a position to answer for what they will not have done. But our system will not have been able to pick up where a person would have received the kickbacks.
Ma'am, can you explain this system of yours so that you can understand in this democratic country of ours, why is your system not able to pick up people amongst yourself? You're such a huge organization.
Honorable Chair, when it comes to doing business, members would have applied for having companies. After they have applied, they would have been granted approval, etc., etc. Then within the organization, we are saying for a member to conduct business, you must apply for permission. And once you have got company, then you do your business. Unless you as an employee says to us, this is the kind of business that I have found after you granted me approval, we will not have known. Hence I said, this information was brought to us by the AG because the AG has got a system to interact with the department that grants approval for conducting business. We also indicated that as the SAPS, having realized that there are gaps, and also with the introduction
of the new regulatory framework which came into effect in August 2016. We have since put systems in place to ensure that we are also on par. Amongst other things within the SAPS, we came up with an integrity unit which will be...
Ma'am, with good due respect, I want the system. Is there a button that are pressing? You know, ma'am, you are talking of an organization that is widespread in our country. We have got police stations, we have got commissioners, station commissioners. I hear what you are talking about. Leave the Auditor General. I'm asking you about your own system. Where is your system?
We currently do not have an electronic system. We do not have an electronic system whereby on a press of a button we are able to detect that Mgwenya is doing business. However, like I indicated, we established an integrity directorate effective last year, which is a phase-in approach. And amongst other things, as we advance, we will be ensuring that we do procure an electronic system, which will assist us to be independent and no longer relying on the Auditor General and the Public Service Commission, who would have given us this. It's a work in progress, Honorable Chair. We will get there. Yes, we are a very big organization.
Wait, give me the future, ma'am. I'm talking about the public's money now. I'm not talking about the future. I mean, SAPS, I know in from the day we met SAPS here in 20, in the first day we came here, they've been telling the same story about we need money for this, we need money for that. You are coming with the same analysis, ma'am. You're not telling me anything new. I'm asking you, in 100 years of SAPS, does it mean to you that throughout all these years, even in the present democracy, you have never had a system where you could see people making conflict, doing business with the institution? I give you an example of Khela, who has spent he's a lieutenant general by the time he left, 1 billion. Are you saying to me you couldn't pick up? This one is now top of the management. I'm asking these ordinary ones. You are not the people that you can't talk to. This is a system I'm trying to establish that allows the taxpayers' money to disappear. This is what I'm interested. I want to know the system, man. Not because when you're looking for a new system, you're going to look for new money. Well, let's talk about this one that now we have already abused. If you can answer, Scooter has been long in the institution, can maybe help me to make me understand the issue.
Honorable Chair, I believe with the like I indicated, with the directorate that we have established, we will soon be having systems that will be able enable us to pick up members who are doing business with the organization. Thank you.
All right, I'll come back to you. Okay.
No, thanks, Chair.
Just pull the mic closer to you.
Okay. No, thank you, Chair. I just want also to talk on the same issue. When you were asked about particularly the spreadsheet, you said from this corner where you wrote number, it is the information from the AG and the information from the police is the last column. Am I correct? Okay. When did you, as a department, receive that this annual report?
Which annual report are we talking about?
I'm referring to this one.
And for which financial year is it?
It's 1516.
July 2016, Honorable Chairperson.
Okay. Now let's look at your remarks, because I wanted to lay that foundation so that we understand each other. You received this, you are saying, in July 2016. an AG indicated that is that here are the names of the people who are doing business with the state. And they are correctly saying or proudly saying to us, you don't have systems that is to verify that. Do you have the capability to investigate that?
Yes, we do have, Chairperson.
But why can't you tell us that? Because in your spreadsheet here, you are telling us nothing about what you have done or what you are doing. Let me just show you one simple thing in terms of the information that you are giving us. All what you are telling us here is that according to the member's affidavit, he was never involved. All what you are telling us about according to what the member is saying. And you are not indicating to us as to how far is your investigation. What have you discovered? Because that's what we are more important in, not what the member is saying. Because obviously, if the member submits an affidavit to you, you'll have to verify some of the information. And coming to us, you'll have to provide us with information after investigating. But for you to provide us with information that still says, according to the member, then that is problematic. Hence, my colleagues are asking these questions. Because all what we need from you is, your investigation has revealed 1, 2, 3. Not that you are telling us that is about according to the member at this late hour. Have you investigated these issues? We accept that you said you don't have systems. But have you investigated? Here is a member. He has submitted an affidavit to you, and you are expected to investigate and provide us with information. Did you do that? And if you did, where's the information?
Honorable Chairperson, with your permission, I'm going to ask General Mgwenya and the provincial commissioners that are here to respond to the question by the honorable member.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Just a minute. I don't know, Comrade Kekana, if you want them to respond to you, or you're actually pointing out that the document that they've submitted to us does not tell us what they've done. Meaning, it might as well be that they have not done anything. So it's either they accept that they have not done it. If they're going to tell us what they did but did not put it here, then it will be a bit problematic for me. Because that's the information that we wanted, not what the member said. That was for your consumption. After getting what the member said, what did you do? I think that's where his question is. But maybe respond. I just wanted to put that context.
Honorable Chair, there is some work that was done. After receipt of the list from head office level, we forwarded to the provincial commissioners to conduct investigations. Hence, we have got those representatives or provincial commissioners who had hoped to give feedback in terms of the investigation conducted. I'm not sure as to whether they'll be allowed to do that. It is not in the report, but there were investigations conducted from the respective provinces.
But I think the point it's making is that which they did is what was supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not here. In fact, it was something I had noted, that in almost all the responses, it is according to the member. So it gives an impression that you have not done anything except to take the statements from the member and then put them here as responses.
Chairperson, I want to agree with you that these answers are very much limited in content. If we can please ask that we give a detailed answer in writing.
Comrade Khan, what do you want us to do? It was your question. Should I allow them to respond?
Yes, Chair, allow them to respond, but we still need that is detailed information from them, because the impression created, particularly in this spreadsheet, is that you did not do anything.
We will then request General Basson from Gauteng to talk to those in Gauteng. Thanks, General.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Of the 32, Gauteng didn't have any.
but from the 71, the investigations that Gauteng did was, we've got DR numbers, departmental register number.
Let them not even, that is proceed. I'm talking about the actual cases here. Mm. Don't give me an overall. You gave us a presentation. I was listening to your presentation. You were not talking to, for instance, I'm talking about, let's look at number one. That's what I need. You give me an answer on number one, number two, number three. Don't give me an overall picture of what that is the situation is. That's the detail that I need. And that's what I'm referring to.
There's nothing on the 62 chain.
There's nothing for Gauteng from this list.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. If we are looking at number 9, which is Lamula V from Mpumalanga, the member deregistered as a director in 2015. But irrespective of that, we still investigate because that is the version of the member. The information that the acting commissioner was saying, it should be brought to the committee in writing. I think it will bring more evidence to show to what extent the investigation is, because we have to take the
version. General Zuma.
Yes, sir.
If you are still investigating, why then do we have in this document a statement that say the member deregistered as a director? Because it is made as a statement of fact, and yet you say you are still investigating.
Yes, it is what the member has submitted to us as a statement of, as in an affidavit. But we don't take the affidavit of the member at face value.
So why is it here? Why has this been brought to us? What are we supposed to do with it? The member is not accounting to us, it's accounting to you. You are supposed to account to us. Give us your version. Don't give us the member's version.
Yes, I think our version is that it's under investigation.
That's what we should have had there, under investigation.
Yes.
You see? So, General, so, General Mutiba, are we to understand that all of these names that are here, they are still under investigation? There is none that has been concluded.
Honorable Chairperson, except those who have resigned, because we can't investigate the members that have left the service. All the others, Honorable Chairperson, there's no case that we can say has been concluded. If I can just quickly go through the list, Honorable Chairperson.
All right, no, that's fine. I think the first page, the second page, and the third page.
Yes.
Because it's only in the last page where you have those who have resigned. So it means the first, second, and third pages, they are all still under investigation.
Yes, Honorable Chairperson.
All right.
But Chair, even those who have resigned, there is an allegation that they were doing business with the state. Are you saying to us you are not going to investigate those because they've resigned? Are you saying that to us?
Honorable Chairperson, the dealing with a member that they've resigned is a separate process in terms of our criminal law. But in terms of these members that are on the list are those that we are dealing with them in terms of our subdisciplinary regulations, because they are still within the employ of the subs. Those that they've left, we will deal with them in terms of the criminal code to find out what if the state lost and to put in recovery processes.
Acting Commissioner, I was patiently listening to, that is my colleague here, Honorable Boy, saying, please don't mislead us. My question is very simple to you. Here's the AG. He comes up, for now,
because we have not yet investigated. Let's say the AG comes up with an allegation, and your responsibility as a department is to look at that is the allegation from the AG, that is in terms of his report. Investigate all those allegations. Now, you are saying to us already, you are giving us a position that for those who have resigned, you are not even going to bother that is to investigate. And what are you trying to tell us? Because what you are expected to do is to investigate everything that the AG has indicated to you and come up with a report. And in the report, we'll then determine as to whether we can recover this money or not. But that can only be based on the investigation. But for you to conclusively say, no, for those I'm not even going to do anything. Is that correct?
Honorable Chairperson, we are going to look into all these matters, including those that have resigned. But we are looking at those that are in the service, those that have left the service, not that we're going to leave them like that. We are also, our investigation will also tell us, because there are senior personnel that are working with this. Why have they allowed it? And also to interrogate our investigation to say we need to recover those monies in terms of our own prescript. So no one is going to be left just because you have left the service. So we agree with the Honorable Member on that point, Honorable Chairperson.
Maybe this would be the last point. Let's agree on timelines, because we can't just talk about investigation and open-ended investigation. More or less, when should we expect a report from you that is on all these investigations? Because my understanding is, as soon as you get the annual report from the Auditor General, your responsibility is to set up a team, look at the issues that the AG has, that is indicated, and come up with corrective measures. But on this specific one, let me get clarity from you in terms of the timelines. What timelines are we talking about here?
2 years. Yeah. Through you, Chair, on the presentation, page 11, make visible our plan in terms of finalizing these cases.
But on a point of order, Chairperson.
Yeah.
I thought that the acting general is the one responsible, and the member has directed the question to him. I don't know how does Ms. Gwanya try to take power for herself. She's not directing this meeting.
All right, okay.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Through you, can I ask General Gwanya to respond?
Okay. General Gwanya.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Slide 11 of the presentation, make visible the plan which our internal audit, which is our internal audit with a limited capacity will be embarking on. In terms of the, I'm not sure as to whether Chairperson, am I allowed to go through the plan as a...
No. Sorry, ma'am. I think we are in two different meetings. Can we be in one meeting? I saw your report. It's not talking to what I'm asking you. Can you read in the same page, page 11, look at the categories of the issues that you are referring to and go back to what I asked you and see whether there's similarity in those issues. I saw this thing. If, obviously, let me...
All right. I would imagine, General Gwanya, that the last date on that page is 31st December 2017.
I want to agree. This talks will be talking to the 71 in terms of this the 32 chairperson, which we are saying there is some work that has already been done. We can commit to forwarding a report by the end of the month. It will be a matter of consolidation,
right,
in respect of the 32, or even earlier, if
right,
if
that's what we wanted to hear. Lengwa.
No, thanks, Chair. Let me just be somewhat very clear that I don't buy that timeline. And I'll tell you why. We have just concluded the 16-17 financial year. Reports will probably reach us in September. This is 15-16. We've got an outer date of 2017, mid-year, so to speak, 17-18. It's an open-ended chaos. I don't buy it. 15-16 is still not concluded. We are about to receive 16-17, which will probably only be dealt with in 2021 and probably be finalized in 2023-24. I'm just seeing an absence of a discipline and a stern commitment to deal with this, and I'll tell you why, Chair. When those in charge are complicit or alleged to be aiding and abetting or part and parcel of the shortcoming, then you've got a problem. Chair, this back to basics report is particular one. If you turn to page 7, item number 25, the heading of that page is members doing business with SEPs 2015-2016 financial year, 32 samples. Item number 25 is Biega NV, the general. Really? Somebody just clarified. What do you expect of the guy at the door at SEPs if the person at the top finds themselves in this? That's why I am just, well, from where I'm seated, Chairperson, I can tell you now that there is absolutely no zero. Because these findings are not new. So as if SEPs is dealing with this issue of members doing business with the state for the first time, it was in the 14-15 financial year. And then, boom, the commissioner, special commissioner herself, is implicated. Now, if systems are that broken and there's a failure to adhere at that level, how are we expected from where we are seated to take any kind of what we are being told here now? So, Chair, it's all good and well to list, to give us this long list here of the people that have been identified and so on and so forth. It's very nice. But it speaks to a systematic problem, the absence of consequence management. If the national commissioner, former, is implicated in doing this thing, who implements the systems if that person is implicated? So, Chair, I'm framing it in that fashion. I just really want to be clarified, Wood. I'm hearing big terminology, enhancement, and a press of a button, and so on. You know, Chair, the finding of the AG on page 299 of the annual report, item 23 says the financial statements submitted for audit were not supported by full and proper records as required. Boom. First problem. Material misstatements of immovable tangible assets, operating lease commitments and contingent liabilities identified by the auditors in the submitted financial statements were subsequently corrected and the supporting documents were provided subsequently. You see, there's this thing which will only sort things out at an outer date. I can carry on, Chairperson, and read a whole lot of things in this report, which are of concern. This particular aspect is the beneficiary of a systematic collapse of due process, of adhering to legislation, PFMA and other national treasury regulations. And you know what is concerning, Chair? This is the SEPs, who are the alpha and omega of law enforcement. But at the very heart of SEPs, there's an implosion. And I challenge any member of SEPs here to contradict me, Chairperson, that I'm wrong, in the face of these glaring findings. How are we going to pursue criminals? How are we going to pursue other officials in other departments if SEPs themselves, who are the ones who are at the forefront of leading the charge against crime, corruption, and all sorts of other things, in-house, they are in these kind of shambles? So, Chair, I just want to get just two questions, really. I was just expressing the fact to Uti. We're going to be here again next year. But just two questions, Chair. What is the status of the investigation into the business done by the former National Commissioner? And secondly, Chair, I've just now misplaced... I'll just find it now, Chair. Tim, may I borrow your...
maybe in the meantime...
No, Chair, no, got it. Okay, but Chair, on the back to basics, it's item number 3. It's the third item listed there of the persons who are doing it. Item 3 on page 5. I really, that him daughter S, the warrant officer of Zoo Business Enterprise, who did business with the state, 1.5 million rand. That's probably the largest amount there. I would like details, Chairperson, on that particular one, so that we can at least see the commitment to it. Where's that process? And then whether we are setting an example of consequence management and accountability, what's the status of the one of the former National Police Commissioner?
All right. Okay.
All right, Chairperson, with your permission, I would ask General Mgwenya to respond.
I had a question, I'll just put the last one. General Mgwenya seems to be doing a lot of the answering, which is, I don't have a problem with, because the acting National Commissioner is deferring to. I'd like to find out her term of service in the SEPs, how long has she been there, and particularly dealing with these financials. But I would like to get a context as to how far, as part of the system, she has been there.
Well, General Gwenya.
Okay.
Gwenya.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. In terms of dealing with the HR issues, I started February last year, but I've been with the SAPS for about 3 decades. In terms of the question regarding the former National Commissioner, the investigation which was conducted by internal audit was finalized. She had also submitted a letter that said she had resigned as the director of that company, which is made visible in the presentation, Connex Travel. That is one case that was finalized. The forensic investigation thereof, which was conducted by internal audit, was finalized.
But what investigation did they do? You say they got a letter that she submitted that she had resigned from the company. So that was the only investigation done. Or were they able to then verify from the records of Connex that indeed she had resigned?
The feedback that I received from internal audit, which is a component that resolves directly to the National Commissioner, is that they conducted a forensic investigation. We have a brigadier that is an expert in terms of the investigation. She did. My understanding of the forensic investigation that she conducted is that she would have went in depth of conducting the investigation, including going through the relevant company.
You know, I have a problem with that response. Earlier on, with all due respect, ma'am, you said the deregistration process is a long process, takes 2 years. And miraculously now, one has just been sorted out at the snap of a finger. And the fact that you are unable to succinctly explain to us the process of investigation says to me that that particular issue falls in the same category of other things which are still pending. Because I would imagine if you say you've got an expert, as you say, why hasn't the expert done an investigation into all those matters that appear there? Why is there a selective, look, we've got the expert. What's the expert doing every day? It's 32 cases. They're not concluded.
In terms of this particular case, there was an instruction that was given to internal audit by the audit committee to say they must conduct this investigation specifically looking at the issue of the national commissioner. Hence, this case, we had this person dedicated for this case, hence it was finalized. However, it didn't stop with her. Other cases, we indicated earlier that there is a process of verification that is still underway, investigation and verification. There is a process that is underway.
Let's go to the second question. Why don't we do this? As I indicated earlier, the deputy minister is supposed to leave, and I didn't mention at the beginning that we were informed that the minister is indisposed, so he's not here. Can agree, I'll give the deputy minister a minute or two, and then we can then continue. Yeah, yes, comrade.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Certainly, from the Ministry of Police, we are very excited with the exercise that the SCOPA is undertaking. And it is a very serious surprise to us to find that the department is unable to answer these questions, which are very important, because the report of the Auditor General was given long time ago, I think it's a year ago, to correct these particular questions. And in my own analysis, those things were never corrected. And it's an embarrassment for our department. So what we're going to do as a ministry going forward, we're going to await the report of SCOPA on this particular matter and arrange a meeting of the ministry with the Auditor General to fast-track this particular thing. Because we cannot preside over a corrupt institution if that is what is the finding of this particular committee. We are coming from sport. We've turned around sport with clean audited statement and the financial report. And then now to come to an institution where you find that it's a mess, it's really frustrating. So I want to say, Chairperson, thank you for this particular exercise. We are going to make a follow-up as a political leadership. We are going to invite the Auditor General. And then we have time frames that he must give us to make sure that we clean this mess before the next financial period. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks very much, comrade. Well, we are like elephants. We don't forget. We hold you to that. All right. Not in Lobe as a KZN, but yes, in Pumalang. All right. No, that's fine, comrade. Sengwa, you wanted to make a follow-up? proceed. Responded only to the first question.
No, yes, Chair. I just wanted to say I'm really interested in the modus operandi of the investigation into the former National Commissioner. Because I would imagine that if it was successful as we are made to believe, it shouldn't in the very least have formed a framework or a model which should be followed in how the rest should be, investigated. So, Chair, because I'm from where I'm saying I'm not satisfied with that response, but I would like details as to how that particular one was seen through. So if you can be able to benchmark why the others, the same did not happen. Because I would imagine that in front, in the eyes of the law, we are all equal. It's not Animal Farm, unless a different approach was being applied there. But the public purse is the public purse. Whether it's 1 rand or 10 million rands, whether it's a crime by Mkulego or by Tim, it doesn't matter. Now, I have a problem with the inconsistent application of the pursuit of the investigation. That's where my problem lies.
Okay.
Even then, I am still convinced Uguti, we may arrive at a point where all the commissioner gave was her indication that she had resigned, just like everybody else. I just don't believe it was a thorough exercise.
Honourable Chairperson, with your permission, can we give detailed written response, including evidence from the relevant departments that will talk to this issue? Because it's only that year that she resigned. We'll also get it in writing from the relevant State Department.
Just two questions, Chair. In terms of the disciplinary process, what standards do you set yourself in terms of when the matter occurs to when you have finalized it? Do you set yourself any timelines at all? I know that the matter can be as long as a piece of string, but any good system says we would like disciplinary matters to be wound up within a certain period of time. And we try by all means to get that done within that parameter. So do you have a current SAPS system that would give this committee some comfort that you are trying to deal with these matters expeditiously? Or are they allowed just to drag on? Now, my colleagues have discussed the fact that, frankly, this is very frustrating because we've got a situation where a lot of this happened before August last year, and then there was a 6-month grace period, and now it is where we are. Now, we're just working on the AG's report for the last year, but the nice thing about this committee is that we can initiate an investigation into any matter within our remit. It doesn't have to just be on the AG's report. So the question I have for my second question is, how many incidents of this sort of thing have happened since February? So the subsection to that question is do you know? And if you don't know, does that mean you just wait for the AG to tell you a year later that you've got a problem? Or do you pick things up as they happen? Or are you sitting there very passively and just waiting for, by the time you find that out, the person resigned and left or whatever? So what is your ongoing monitoring process of this, and how long does it take to wind up disciplinaries? That is my question. And then, ma'am, sorry, you said something, you'd been in the SAPS for 3 decades. Is that correct? Three decades, so you must have joined back in the 80s. Okay, thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, with your permission, I ask General Mgwenya to respond.
Right, I would also, before she does, I'm looking at the Public Service Commission. I think we'll be interested to get your views and inputs on this matter. That's why we had requested you to be here with us. I'm not sure if the department is here. not. Okay. Well, General Gwenya.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. In terms of the disciplinary processes, the time frames that we are having, yes, we have a very effective disciplinary process in processes in place. Where there is a misconduct, we have 30 days to investigate the misconduct. Having investigated the misconduct, then we have got 60 days during which period the disciplinary case would have been finalized. To emphasize the importance of finalizing disciplinary cases, it is also in our annual performance plan and also in the operational plan of the divisional commissioner. But also, we recently revised our regulations where we had identified gaps. So we are able to, within a period of 5 days, expeditiously finalize the case and dismiss a member where there would have been a prima facie case, which was not the case even before. We have systems that are in place, very effective in terms of finalization of cases. I must indicate, however, that there will be at times your very difficult cases where there is very sensitive information where the NPA will say, please do not continue with the disciplinary case because you might jeopardize the criminal case. We have a very effective disciplinary system in place in the SAPS. In terms of incidents where members are involving themselves in business, we delegate, those powers have been delegated by the National Commissioner to the provincial commissioners and divisional commissioners. So they will be the ones who will know when a member is in, because the member, we indicated that the member has to apply. So they will be knowing if there are members that are involved in business. But again, we indicated that we're in the process of enhancing our systems so that we're able to speedily pick up incident of that nature. So, thank you.
Hey, I'm sorry, but that doesn't answer my question, Rola. I asked how many. You're telling me now you don't know. So what I would like to request, just to move things along, is that our next meeting, can you tell me exactly how many and how many of them were dealt with in 5 days? I find it frankly remarkable that you're telling me you deal with disciplinary matters in 5 days. That's beyond the bounds of reality. Anyway, so let's put you to the test. How many have happened since February when the grace period ended? In other words, if somebody's doing it, they are now fully in the line of the remit of the law. How many have happened, and how many did you sort out in 5 days?
Honourable Chairperson, can I ask the General Skett and General Mgwenya to respond?
So we would just have to look precisely after February, but the interim management letter for 16-17 indicated 11 cases. We would then just have to look which ones of the 11 are after February and which one were before February. Unfortunately, I did not bring that data also.
I'm done. I'm just trying to see, you know, the frustration is everything before February, you can't do anything with it. But let's see what the department has done since February. And if you're telling us that you're committed to fighting this and your minister, deputy minister seems committed to it, and you're telling us remarkably that you deal with these matters in 5 days, then I'd love to see how long this takes to deal with that 11, because we'll put you to the test in a couple of months' time and say, right, well, and I'm concerned that you have a 33 million rand culture going on that happened in the last year. That isn't just going to disappear like that. You've got a problem. Let's see how it works out. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Yes, Comrade. And then I would like to, before I come back to you, Ross, and other comrades, want to touch base with the Public Service Commission just to get their sense of where we're at.
Thank you.
Not now. Let's ask. Yes, go to you, comrade.
Okay. Now, thank you, Chairperson. General, can I please take you back to the disciplinary question? You are aware that the SAPS disciplinary regulations under the triple SPC, once a case is not dealt with within 60 days, it can no longer be pursued. Are you aware of that?
Chairperson, it's not exactly what the Honourable Member is saying. We are having a grace to investigate and to take the member through a trial. There are a number of factors that are at play. The member's representative or the sub-representative can ask for extension, but the standard is that we got 60 days to investigate and the entire case must be finalized within 90 days. That is the standard. But there are always sometimes factors that force us to go over that.
Chair, allow me. 10.4 of the SAPS regulations under the triple SPC. After an employee is suspended with full remuneration or temporarily transferred as a precautionary measure or charge, the employer must hold a disciplinary hearing within 60 calendar days from the commencement of the suspension or charging.
I hear what the Honourable Member is saying, Honourable Chairperson. This is our target, but there are always, there are sometimes factors. For instance, you find that this is a case where the employee representative come and ask for postponement. We are committed to those time frames, Honourable Chairperson, but sometimes, in fact, it's in the majority of cases where we go over, that will be as part of the disciplinary process.
Chair, the reason why I'm asking this, it's an explanation of why and how was the process not followed. One, in the SAPS, you deal with employees that have representations of their unions. And when you charge them for wrongdoing, their unions protect them. And when you do not stick to timelines, even if you get a grace, the unions, they still fight. So what happens here is that you didn't do your work, and it's going to be difficult for you to charge those members because the unions are going to take you back to the triple SPC. And they are within their rights to protect themselves. But when a department has not done what it's supposed to do within the prescripts of the law, the labor law and the triple SPC agreement, then you are going to find yourself in a situation where you cannot do anything to these police officers. And they are applicable to, I think, up to level 12. And most of these people here on this list, Chair, is warrant officers, constables, and everyone else whom are protected by the unions. So how are you going to deal with them at a later stage when you have failed to deal with them now? How are you going to deal?
Through you, Chairperson, I'll ask General Mgwenya to respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We can only be able to commence with the disciplinary process once the investigation has revealed that there is a misconduct, and where we are compelled to immediately kickstart the process within 60 days,
will be mostly where we have a member who would have been suspended. We are compelled to commence with that process immediately within 60 days.
I hear you. So you mean that none of these members have been charged? That's why the 60 days does not apply to them.
Honorable Chair will recall that we said we are currently, there is a process of investigation and verification, and once that is being done, and then it can be confirmed as to whether there was a misconduct, then the disciplinary process will then kick in once the investigation is finalized. However, before the finalization of the investigation, which will include the verification of this information that was made available to us by the AG, we even if we were to start a process, it will not yield positive results.
Okay, I hear you. So you are saying now no one has been charged since July last year when you received the audit, the audit outcome. It's almost July another year. For a year you did not. Here is another process that SAPS undertakes every year. I think it's quarterly, if I'm not mistaken. You have inspections. There's different teams from national to provincial that visit different police stations and different units like your vehicle, garage units, and others. What do those people do when they go to inspection when you are unable to pick up and fast-track investigation? How do you synchronize their outcomes of inspection to the office of the headquarters?
So, President, I'll ask General Ngwenya to respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. In terms of these particular cases, we have not received a report either from the inspectorate or any other team. Hence, I indicated that once that process is finalized, then we'll commence with the misconduct process, the disciplinary process.
Okay, Chair, for the last time now, I just want to illustrate the systems at the disposal of SAPSB. Besides pressing a button and detect a name of a person, there is different other methods and that they can detect. The last one will be, you are familiar with the systems within the SCM, which is the Polfin system, and the new system now, the PASS system. Are you familiar with those two systems?
I am familiar. However, General Stete is an expert when it comes to that environment. He will talk better about the two systems. Thank you.
Yeah, General Stete.
Yes, I was still awaiting the questions. Reference was made to the two systems, Polfin and PASS.
Yeah, are you familiar with these two systems and how do they work at the station level and any other plant of the SAPS?
Yes, Honourable Member, Chairperson. I am quite familiar with the systems. They are serving our Polfin is a financial system and the PASS is our provision administration system, and they interfaced between because of the vertical integration of certain aspects, for instance, supplier payments and so forth.
Great. Who loads the suppliers into those systems?
SCM loads them into those systems. They register the supplier into the Polfin system.
So the SCM loads the supplier, but the SCM does know who owns the company which is going to supply business to the SAPS.
If it's an individual, they should know it. If it's a company, not necessary. Although, and that is where I come in with Mr. Boy's question previously, the fact of the matter is we had certain systems, but now that we can test against a database to see whether that company has public servants, it improves the existing systems. But normally if you say ABC trading, you don't necessarily, we don't load on Paulson the directors of that company, so to speak. But now when you procure, you have to test.
How does a police station obtain a database of suppliers, in particular of companies? Who brings it? Who presents a company to the police station?
Colleague, there's various ways that a person can register, a person can approach a SAPS or a company, but there's also by means of advertisements that we request certain private companies to come and register. So there are days, sometimes open days, or we advertise and so forth, or you can approach a police. Obviously these days with the CSD, it's a bit different than in the past.
Now, a last question linked to that. With all that information, you have the database, you have people loading, and you have at your disposal names of people whom are suspects of doing business with the state for a year. You send it back to police station, to different police stations and different plans of the SAPS. And up to now, 11 months down the line, none of those people have investigated within those different police stations that who or where are these people within these different types of companies or suppliers to the police station. So you, is either you did not send the information to police station, or the police station didn't do their work. Which one is it?
The Paulson system chair does not test a director of a company against PERSAL, the employee system, but the data is available also to the station per se. If I understand the Honourable Member's question, you're referring to the 32 names. Or you're referring to the 32 names. Then the 32 people would have been forwarded to the provinces from a supply chain perspective as well, but remember there's also then the HR disciplinary perspective. But from that, I've got two files with all the data of the members which we started some time ago on the supply chain side in order to obtain and see the SBD4s and so forth. The data is available normally on the system. We've got approximately 4,500 Paulson users right through South Africa, and that data would have been available for every province and station, Honourable Member.
So you agree that the provinces didn't do their work, they did not investigate?
Wherever the specific responsibility lies, I think it could have been compressed better. I won't say it's A or B or C, but the fact of the matter is it could have been done quicker.
No, General. Do you agree that the work was not done?
I won't say, Honourable Chair, it was not done. All I'm saying is it could have been expedited.
That's not an answer. That's not an answer. It's either you failed to do your work or the provincial commissioners failed to do their work. It cannot be either or.
I respectfully submit it can be a little bit of both if that is the case. But the fact of the matter is your disciplinary process runs via a specific process in a cost center. Because SAPs are so big, we've got cost centers, each one with its own responsibilities. A province is a cost center, a division is a cost center. So what I'm saying to you is it could have been done better. Because in absolute terms, Honorable Chair, to say it was not done or it was done would mean imply 100%. I'm saying it's not 100%. It could have been done better.
I'm still not satisfied. I am still not satisfied. This is a very simple process. You have 32 names. The police stations in South Africa are so many, I don't even know how many they are. 32 names, and I can tell you now, out of these 32 names, I don't think they fall in one police station, all of them, or even two of them, the people here on this list. Let's now just do a simple example. Let's do a simple exercise. General Ngwenya says, members obtain permission to do business. And that was a requirement before the PEM bill became an act. It shouldn't be difficult to get a letter which says Constable Dele is an owner of or a director in Amvuyelwa. Because there is a permission which is in his or her file at the police station. And therefore, in that personal file, it clearly stipulates whether he is a director, is an owner, or whatsoever. There is permission granted to these people. So if there is permission granted to these people, getting a file, their personal files, and get this particular permission to charge them, shouldn't be a difficult task, is it?
That specific file is being held in the province with the personal particulars of that person.
That's exactly what I asked before. Who didn't do their work? You forwarded the names to provinces, to different provinces. The different provinces fail to go to HR and get personal files of different members. A simple job like that. That's why I said, do not cover for anyone. It's either you did not give them their names to get the money of the state back or to charge the people who have wrongfully benefited in the state coffers.
All right.
Not covering for anybody is just a question of I cannot express myself in absolute terms, but I think I've explained as you inferred.
I think, Comrade, the absolute response that you are seeking should come from General Mutiba as the head of the institution. I understand General Skeeter's response very, very well. I'm saying in terms of the absolute categoric response that you wanted, I think he's the person who should and can say yes. Because what the comrade is asking, if you go to page 4 of your presentation, you find that Mpumalanga, there are only two people involved. Now, do you need a year to investigate? And I'm sure they are not in one police station. They may not be in one police station. You see? And then if you go to Northern Cape, it's one. Just one person. So do you need a year to investigate one person? just like that. So I think that's where questions come from. To say, when we look at 32, it's a big number. But when you now cut it now into the specific areas where it comes from, you realize Mpumalanga is one, Northern Cape is one. So do you need what amount of time to be able to do this? And she says, if it has taken us this long, then it means that people who are supposed to do their job have not done their work. And I'm saying, as the leader of the team, I think it's only fair that you're the only person who can respond in categoric terms, not anybody below you. If that is the line that you want to pursue, comrade.
Honorable Chairperson, any investigation must be embarked on and been finalized as soon as possible. And I want to take all the full responsibility that we have not done well with these investigations, and we'll go back and make sure that we fast-track the investigations and have them finalized as soon as possible. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I think that answers everything. It answers everything. Thank you.
Because, as you correctly put, if you go to Mpumalanga, my home province, and Caesar's home province, you know, you still have a question? Yeah, I mean, there are two people. One might be from Sabi, another one might be from Kusu. These are two different areas that are far apart, and each one would... So we're saying, General Mgwenya, that we could and should have done better. And yes, General Zuma.
Through Acting National Commissioner. Chairperson, if you look at Mpumalanga, I think there are various scenarios that have been explained here. Investigation done, the report here. If a person is found to have resigned and submit evidence to that extent, the only thing that we have to do is to monitor the process of deregistering the name from the CIPRO. So that is the part of investigation that you refer to in this instance. The one that has resigned still again the investigation process that has been explained when we found it.
You know what I thought you would do? You would say, you know, from my province, I know the cases are in Tulamahashi and Hazyview. And this is what has happened. In the Hazyview case, this is where we are. On the Tulamahashi case, this is where we are. Because
yes.
Only two cases. So that we don't talk at a conceptual level. We want to move away from the generality to specifically in this instance. What is happening?
Specifically in the case of Ngwenya, for instance, he has submitted a letter of resignation. She has submitted a letter of resignation from the company. So that one is clear. The letter, we've got it in our file. She resigned. And the fact that it was submitted at the company registration offices, we've got the copy of that. The one who resigned is the process that General Mtima was referring to. As to whether we can...
No, that's fine. That's the one part. Then the second one?
No, there are only two. That's the only one.
All right. No, that's... Why don't we do this? Why don't we go to the PSC first? And then we'll come back. Clarity. Okay.
No, can we get the date of resignations? Because the due date for people to comply to PEM Act was the 31st of January. So anything that has happened after the 31st of January is not within the prescripts of the law. When did those people resign from the directorship?
Before the 31st.
Who is, from which province is Lieutenant Colonel Mendu? I think it's number 31. He resigned, where did he resign? He resigned on the 31st of May 2017. He resigned from the police or resigned from the company? Okay.
He resigned from the police. But the file is not yet closed. It was just now 31st of May, so that file is not yet closed. You can still pursue it.
Oh, you are the ones who have seven. Okay, that's fine. Let me go to the PSC. So that maybe they'll assist us with
just giving context and giving us the picture.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. What I would like to inform the committee about is that the subs do submit their financial disclosure forms, all the SMS members, except on those who are suspended. Then the other thing, it's unfortunate that the Deputy Minister is not here, because after scrutinizing the forms of all the SMS members that we receive, we do make findings where we identify potential conflict of interest or where SMS members did not disclose all their registrable interests. What we do, we advise the EA to consult with those members so that they remove the conflict of interest. But unfortunately, whenever we write to the EA and say they have to come back,
the executive authority.
Oh, the executive authority.
Mm,
to say they have to come back to the PSC within 30 days of the receipt of the letter from the PSC, they do not come back to us, because that's where we will get what action has been taken. Just like now, we were informed that there were actions taken, but the PSC is not aware of that one. Because you might find out that the 32 falls within those who did not disclose, or those whom we did pick up the potential conflict of interest that we said it has to be managed. The other thing is for subs to have an arrangement with CIPC so that they get all the names of the companies that are active of their members. When they get the list of companies that are active of their members, they can be able to give that to supply chain so that whenever a tender or whatever has to be awarded, they will be knowing that these people are directors of these companies and they are our officials. Then the other thing is that Section 33B of the Public Service Act, it says the official will apply to do remunerative work outside the public service. But if after 30 days of submitting the application, the executive authority does not respond, it is deemed that permission has been granted. So to avoid officials getting permission by default, the executive authority has to respond when the application is made. That's why I said it's unfortunate that the Deputy Minister is not here, so that he can hear that, so that they can address the issue of responding within 30 days when an official has applied, and also responding to the PSC to say that you have identified 1, 2, 3. We have engaged with the officials. These are the steps that we have taken. That's what I wanted to say.
I think your response would have helped us much, much better if you had gone a step further and say, in terms of the declarations of 2014-15 from the SAPS, this is what we had, and this is what we said to the minister. These are the people we identified as having either a conflict or a potential conflict. We wrote to the minister on such and such a date and did not receive any response, or we received a response. So that we take that conceptual part to the practical, that in relation to subs, this is what happened.
Yeah. If the mem is not ready, if you could just put it in writing and submit it to Parliament. Of now, we are in front of the Parliament. Forget about the Deputy Minister. He has not done his job. We will do the job for him. It's our responsibility.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Yeah, you have them. Yeah, let's hear you.
I have got the financial years 2012-2013, where 795 SMS members within SAP submitted their financial disclosure forms, and 96 SMS members they submitted manually and 684 submitted via e-disclosure, and the findings of the scrutiny were that 79 SMS members, let me come to, we do have the information, it's just that I had the recent one, to say 2013 financial year, 40 officials within SAPS whose registrable interests were construed to be posing potential conflict of interest. It means 2013-2014, we identified 40 officials within SAPS. Then we wrote to the minister to say, Minister, engage with this official so that the potential conflict could be managed so that they do not lead to actual conflict of interest. And we also informed the minister to say those who did not disclose their registrable interest, please find out why were they hiding something or what, but we did not get response from the minister to say, I have consulted with the 40. This is what I found, and this is the steps that I have taken to charge or not to charge them. I'm satisfied with the responses that they have given. And during the 2014-2015 financial year, 27 officials were identified as having potential conflict of interest. We also wrote to the minister informing him about the 27, and we gave him the names of the officials of which they can be provided to Parliament. Then we also did not get a response. Then from the 2015-2016, we identified 61 officials who did not disclose all their registrable interests. That's why I said it might happen that the 32 fall within the 61 who did not disclose all their registrable interest. Then there were 91 officials whose financial interest could be construed as posing potential conflict of interest. We also wrote to the minister informing him about this and giving him the names of the officials. And we also requested the minister to engage with these officials, consult them so that, because now he has to talk to these officials so that what is it that they will do to remove the conflict of interest, but we also did not get a response from the minister. With the 2016-2017, we are still busy scrutinizing those forms. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much. Ross?
Thank you, Chair. The new information is quite concerning, and it clearly shows that if we look at the audit report and the status of the audit report on 2016, it shows an unqualified report with findings. Now, I know the findings can be severe in terms of the conflict of interest that we've seen is extremely concerning, but in terms of a relatively good audit report, it could be that the executive authority has also left this department in the lurch, if I understand that report correctly. And like the Honourable Boyer said, and I fully support it, it's quite important that we get that from the Public Service Commission as soon as possible. Chairperson, in conclusion, just in terms of my submission, my concern is, however, directed to the accounting officer, commissioner, in terms of the appointment of the audit, internal audit. It is your prerogative to appoint the internal audit, and the member, the general, in terms of human relations, has indicated that there's a void in terms of those appointments. It's not fully staffed, it's not quite functional, and we've seen it from the questions from the minister. And I believe the question to you would be, when can you appoint a proper internal audit to address the issues, especially with regards to the conflict of interest, and that could make a huge difference in terms of a department. Thank you for the opportunity.
Just noted, Acting Commissioner, Comrade Chilwane, Boy.
Chairperson, thank you.
Minus Comrade Kekan. You're out, okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's just a small one. Actually, it will be a rider because Honorable Ross has already raised it. But also, I just wanted to check with the Acting National Commissioner in terms of the Audit Committee. Is the Audit Committee functioning very well? It is completely in terms of the members of the Audit Committee, and what is their view in terms of this report? I think I just wanted to add that one, Chairperson. Thank you.
Comrade Boy.
Acting Commissioner, you see, I was trying to get your attention from the start of the process because the PFMA says you are the accounting officer, not Nguyenia, not schooled or whatsoever. You are the accounting officer. And I had hoped by the time you leave your office, you would have been so familiar with the reports that would have made our life more better. But it doesn't seem that you are familiar with your reports. Nguyenia is more informed, and she's taken full responsibility to mislead Parliament.
It's Nguyenia.
Nguyenia.
M. Nguyenia.
F.
M.
M. Oh, Mkwe.
Yes.
So she has, it's a little bit of a problem, accounting officer. Because in Scopa, we deal with you. We don't deal with her. She doesn't exist in our books. You are the one who's supposed to take responsibility. And you see, in terms of the law, acting commissioner, there's no postponement that you have arrived yesterday and then the law waits for you. We saw that you take full responsibility. As I was listening to you in the press briefing, that you take full responsibility for the law. So you took full responsibility for anything that happens within SAFS. And I thought that's what was going to guide you when you come to in front of SCOPA. But we do have a problem now, you see, because I mean, in all where I'm seated, whatever information we're soliciting from you remain unanswered. And with the PSC now giving us new information, with Honorable Mende not having to press the button that Ms. Nguyenia has been telling us about buttons, our information where we sit now as SCOPA is a little bit weak in understanding that. What would have created this type of environment within SAPS? The one part is to help you to achieve your goals and work with you as SCOPA. But it all comes out of honesty. You don't put the cart before the horse and tell us that you need money to do certain programs when you couldn't even answer us on the preliminary one of how did the situation arise. So that as parliamentarians, we don't work hard with you. We assist you in the processes of doing this. But would you, sir, in your process of work with SCOPA, if we come to a total different report from the report provided, what would you do if I ask you directly? Because Nguyenia is not responsible. You're responsible for the department. What would you do in these circumstances? What does parliamentarians and the public expect from you? Usually we ask, would you resign if ever the information that we have in front of us is contradictory? Because we would have misled parliament. All those people that speak in contradictory, they speak on your behalf. And misleading parliament does commit a crime. Do you want us to follow that route of conceding that you have misled Parliament? It all depends on you. It doesn't depend on any one of them, even Scooter. We want to hear from you. Where do you leave Parliament in the broad public? If the information is wrong, I would call for your resignation. Because you have misled Parliament. But I want to give you a level of doubt and an opportunity to put your system together. But I where I'm seated, your team has not given us the best answers. Ms. Ngwenya is worse as Ms. Letters, but I don't want to hold her ransom because she is not the accounting officer. You're the accounting officer. I must hold your ransom so that you give us the answers. Would you accept when we come to our own conclusion that you'd resign?
All right. Commitment.
Thank you. Partly covered by Comrade Boy on Section 38 of the PFMA. Section 38, see Roman Figure 2 and 3, that the National Commissioner is the one that is supposed to prevent the irregular or any wasteful expenditure, in particular that is done criminally within the department. On page 4, Chair, there is three cases or three people at supply chain management. Supply chain management is a custodian of the rules and the regulations that govern procurement of the SAPS. And these three people here are the ones that have breached the rules. Yet we get told they are still under investigation. You can't find a person in supply chain management. With the list that Klengwa asked, can we also speedily get what's the outcome with the three people in supply chain management whom are custodians of the very same regulations which they are breaching? And to take it on a serious note, Commissioner, you accepted that you will go back and do the right thing. But with you doing the right thing, can you also charge your provincial commissioners whom did not do anything about this? We cannot allow a situation where a province is only given one name to go and investigate. Are these people doing business with the state accordingly or not accordingly? If they have to resign, they must resign before the 31st of January. If they have not resigned, they must either leave SAPS and pursue business separately from being employees of that organization. So they failed to do the two things. With all other systems and methods within the SAPS, which is in their disposal, in order for them to arrive at a conclusion of an investigation within a week, a space of a week, because everything that concerns these people is in their personal files. So they fail to undertake their own oath of office, and therefore you need to do the right thing, charge them, because this is an irregular expenditure which could have been prevented. Everyone knows why the PEM Act had to be in place, and before that, there were regulations within the SAPS which were governing doing business with the state. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. Mine will be very brief. Chair, of the 32 that has been given to us, I would just request, Chair, that maybe I'm reiterating a point that has been said, that we actually get a far more detailed status quo of each of the matters. Because, Chair, I still find it inconceivable. Rightly or wrongly, the former National Commissioner must lead by example. Rightly, I mean, she must lead by example. And her matter was fast-tracked, rightly or wrongly, probably to set a an image of steps at work and diligently dealing with. But you see, Chair, you know, my problem comes in, Commissioner, is that it's been said now that this function of investigation was delegated to the provincial commissioners. Delegation is not abdication of responsibility. And you're sending this back to be investigated by the people who in the first place were supposed to oversee that this does not happen.
the very people who are at the coalface of ensuring that this does not happen are now being given a responsibility to investigate this. What happens? It's an open-ended investigation, it just got no end. It's like a running commentary. We're dealing with it. I just certainly do not believe that the Office of the National Commissioner does not have the capacity to investigate 32 matters. When you've got an expert as I said. And so, Chair, I'm really pleading that the thing is, nobody has been charged. Not a single person has been charged. So, in fact, this is something which could have been sent via email to say, just you've got 32 matches we're dealing with. No need to even come here. So I must say, Chair, I take a strong exception to the fact that SAPS could do this to South Africa. This is an indication of why we've got these problems in court. These open-ended investigations, sending investigations to people who will protect their friends and cronies. That's the indictment I want to place here. And if I'm proved wrong, I will withdraw it at a certain point. These investigations have not been concluded because friends are protecting friends. And it's an abuse of office. And this presentation today amounts to nothing more and nothing less other than a malicious compliance to come here to try and just hoodwink us to think that something has been done when absolutely nothing is being done.
All right. All right. Can we have your concluding remarks? General, to the issues that have been raised by members, save from my side that, you know, comrades, one of the issues that we did not talk to and may not necessarily have had to talk to, otherwise it would have derailed us. But yet it's a fact. I mean, the lack of stability in the leadership of the police can only be a negative factor in how we build and develop a culture, you know, of accountability. I was just counting that in 23 years, General, you are now the sixth man at the helm of the SAPS. From General Fivers to Celebi to Pele to Pierre to Pashane, now it's yourself. And that might not be your issue if the politicians were here to talk to that, to take cognizance that we need stability in the institution to be able to build the systems as we need them. And once again, to thank the Public Service Commission, the pit indeed that the political leadership is not here. If in three successive years the Public Service Commission writes to the minister and say, here are your officials that are not complying or have a potential of a conflict, and there's no response, it cannot be correct. And there is no response at all to a chapter 10, PSC's chapter 10 institution that does its work in terms of the constitution, writes to the minister and say, here is the problem. And it's just business as usual. How then do you discourage? And you realize that in those 3 years, none of the senior, not all senior managers are clean. You don't even have 1 year where they say, everybody is clean. But the minister concerned just, and it might be interesting, comrades, that maybe we may need to consider, you know, calling the Public Service Commission just to talk on the conflict of interest and how they are managing it. Because what has come out now is the fact that maybe the political leadership is not interested in dealing with these issues. It cannot be correct that you have sent a letter, formal communication, and you just don't respond. I don't think that's
But anyway, that's not for you. I'm just making an observation. Yes, General.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Chairperson, I've taken serious note of what the committee have said. Going back, I'm going to make sure that we interrogate each and every aspect, go into detail, and we'll give the committee a very much detailed report in terms of not only each and every one of these cases, but what are we having in place in terms of preventing this, because the most important thing is prevention, Chairperson. It's not reaction to come here and tell the committee this has happened, these are the disciplinary cases and so forth. The main thing is prevention. One of my immediate tasks is to meet with the internal audit as well as the audit committee. I must confess I've not yet met with them, Chairperson, and to find out from them what exactly are they doing, what have they done, and to appraise myself about that. Chairperson, I take full responsibility for this, all this, and I'm not saying when did I arrive, because it's not about when did you arrive, and I want to undertake that I'm going to sit down with the team and to find out exactly what has happened, because the chairperson and the committee is correct to say some of the provinces, for instance, are having very less members. I'm seeing that Limpopo has got one, which is something which could have been dealt with as a matter of agency. We'll also give a full report in terms of, and I share the committee's concern, you know, there are people of supply chain that are involved here, and supply chain is the custodian of these rules. They are the ones who must hold us to account, and it's also not going down well with me, just as it's not going down well with the committee, that supply chain members are being fingered in this report. And like I've said, that we will go each and every case of the 32 cases, give status report, what has happened since we this brought to our attention. And Chairperson will give a full written report in respect of these matters. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
I just wanted to encourage you, Chair, that after we have received the report from the Commission, can you write a formal letter to the executive to solicit answers so that out of what we get from their side, we then are able to come to a conclusion.
Okay.
Rather than chop them up when they are not here. Let's get the formal report from them also. You know, could have called them, but let's first give them the preliminary one of writing up to them that the PSC has reported to Parliament and this is the state of things. Can we get a response?
Let's appreciate the undertaking from the acting commissioner, but what is lacking in the commitment is the time frame. Let's agree on when are we getting that comprehensive report.
At the end of the month, Honorable Chairperson, if we can, I can be given up until the end of the month to go and dig. Because it's not only about responding to the committees, also to look at what are the root causes of this. Because we had a national instruction of 2000, now we're having national instruction of 2012. So I would plead with the committee that we not only give answer for the sake of giving of the responding, that we also dig down and also identify systemic challenges, but systemic failures as well. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson.
Okay. But I do want, Commissioner, I want you to personally pursue the KZN case of Mr. Mbanza, the cleaner. I mean, we all know fraud and fronting. How a cleaner, unless if you are employing graduates as cleaners, a cleaner who has a company called Okak, whatever that means, to have bidded and got a tender of about 115,000 rand. I think that there is something. Whether he has resigned from that company or not, it might as well be that this company, OKAAK, has been having a series of contracts within the department, and yet you may find that Mr. Mpanza does not even have an RDP house that he stays in. But some very sly people have used his name to make money out of the department. I find this very, very hard to believe that a cleaner would have the time and the expertise while sweeping the floors to tender for, to provide services to the department. That's my point. I don't understand, and why this has not raised your suspicion or those in KZN. I just don't understand. Unless if we accept that, and unfortunately, comrades, we're talking about the police. Tomorrow we're having correctional services. The people who must enforce the law are behaving like the criminals they're chasing. The people who are supposed to look after the criminals, they behave, same problem. So, but that one of Mr. Panza out certainly wanted to be. Right, comrades, tomorrow is the anti-corruption task force. Tommy, did you circulate to comrades the... Circulate that letter we sent, because it assists to give context of what we want. Yes. Secondly, comrades, tomorrow at 6 in the evening, it's correctional services. But we're not sure, there might be developments that could help us to meet them during the day, earlier after lunch. It all depends. The house may or may not sit. If the house doesn't sit, we'll try and say, can we have them from 2 o'clock? But if the house sits, from 6 o'clock, old assembly. Right? Thank you very much.